Amen. Is this? Are we going to be able to record the message, Mike? Is it all right? Okay. All right, got it working again. Well, boy, I echo those things that Brother Pat said. We're so happy to have Mel and Jean back with us. They are a big part of our lives. I wish we could see them more often. Once a year is not enough, but we're so happy when they do get a chance to come up here and be with us again. And they're a part of everything that goes on here. Pastor Mel was the one who, I guess, 27 years ago now, came here and started this work with a burden to plant a church in New York City. And I think every friend he had told him it could not be done and should not be done. But he came anyway and paid a price so that this work could get established. And there always is a big price, I think a bigger price in the beginning of any kind of a work to see a thing begun. The guy that starts it is the one that pays the biggest price. And all those men that come after him simply get to labor and receive many of the blessings because of the price that was paid in the beginning. And I'm certainly grateful as the pastor of this church that I get to labor in this place. And I owe a great debt to the man that, and the woman that came here those years, many years ago, and went through all the heartaches. And there's still some now, but they bore the biggest brunt of it back then. In helping this thing, this work get established for the Lord. And we'll always owe them a great debt. And we owe the Lord, of course, a great debt for the way he used them. But we're so thankful to have Brother Mel back with us again. And you just give him your undivided attention. Praise the Lord.
I was trying to figure out who he's talking about. Jeremiah of old. When God asked him to speak, and Jeremiah says, I'm just a child. God says, say not that thou art a child. When I give you the words to speak, you're not a child anymore. You're a man. And so this morning, I'd like to speak to you on a subject that is I first preached on in July the 4th, last July 4th in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a subject that I think is extremely important. I brought some other messages in case you asked for an encore, see, so... One will be enough. It's a joy to see so many of our friends here. Boy, it's been 27 years, hasn't it? 1975, when this 52-year-old man left Ohio and came to New York City. I've never regretted it. And all the nice things that are said about what has been said, I appreciate. But I'm going to be very frank with you. It took a man of God to be able to go from there and to make this into the work that it is today. And I owe a debt of gratitude to my dear brother in Christ and his dear wife. And they have paid a price. Amen? I mean, you are saved this morning, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
So I'd like to speak to you on a subject that I believe that God has laid on my heart, and I want it to be understood right from the very beginning that I do not say that I do not preach this message except with compassion and love. I love my country. I gave almost 4 years of it in World War II. So I think I have a right to say some of the things that I'm going to say this morning about our country, because I've seen the way it's gone over the years. Being 79 years of age, I have seen some things. And I'd like to speak to you about them this morning. The contemporary church does not have anything for you. I'll be leaving. Well, we'll be traveling until Thanksgiving after we leave here. And then we go back to Las Vegas for about 3 months. I have a son and a daughter-in-law and three grandchildren there. We'll be going there, and I will go into a starvation diet. There's nothing but a contemporary churches over there, one after the other. There are a few churches around, but they're so few and far between, they're hard to find. And I can't wait to get back into Tennessee, where I'll be hearing about the blood and about the cross. Contemporary church does not have anything to say to you. It is a form of entertainment. Now, if you're looking for entertainment, you go up the street here, and they'll give you all the entertainment you want. But you'll die on a limb, I can promise you that. I love my country. I want you to know that I deeply appreciate the privilege of being able to preach the gospel. But our country's in trouble. This week, I'll be speaking one night on Where America Is In Prophecy. I believe I can show you from the scriptures where America absolutely is, as far as I am concerned. People say they don't know where America is in prophecy. You don't know anything about what's going on in the news if you don't know where America is in prophecy. She is right there. And it's going to be one of the saddest things in the whole white course. We'll be gone. We'll be gone by that time. But one night I'm going to speak to you about that. I'll speak to you about the invincible nation. And I'm going to speak to you about a man who knows more about, listen to me please, who knows more about the cross of Calvary. Well, I'll just turn on the volume. Yeah. Yeah. Am I on now?
Yes, sir.
Now you're going to get it. You didn't hear everything I said at first. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'll have to start all over again. No, I won't. I won't. I won't. I'll talk to you about a man who, regardless of how long you've been a Christian, knew more about the cross, knew more about shed blood, knew more about the substitutionary death satisfying the law. He knew more about Christ than any person here. But he got over it and died and went to hell. And you need to hear the message, not because I'm going to preach it, but you need to hear the message. I'm speaking on America at crossroads. Well, one thing is this, that man never learns from history. Never learns from history. This book is an old history book. A spiritual book, I understand that, but it's a history book. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, these things were written unto us for our learning, that we might learn some things. Are you learning anything from the Old Testament?
Amen. That's good.
And so this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 80. I'd like to show you America in Psalm 80, if I may, please. That's not the message that I'll preach on about where America is in prophecy. Psalm 80. I'll try to make an expository message this morning. Stay with the verses so we won't read the entire scriptures, but I will read portions of God's Word as I expound on them, if that's possible. Let's read, let's read about 7 or 8 verses here and see where we stand, and then we'll comment on them. Shall we stand for the reading of God's precious Word?
Amen.
I'm reading up from the Authorized 1611. And I make no apologies for it. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to start a riot, but I just want you to know where I'm reading from, because if you don't have that, you may be finding some problem following.
Yes,
and I'm making any jokes about anybody. I'm just telling you right here, this is what I'm reading from.
Amen.
I was up in Chicago about a year ago to Bill Hybels' work up there. I don't want to glamorize that too much. They run about 25,000 every Sunday. Of course, they have the dancing girls.
Oh, yeah.
And they have the bongo music. And they got everything else except one thing they don't have. They won't allow him in, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, I'm not contradictory. I was there for 3 days. Three of the most hellish days I've ever spent in my life. Some 4,000 pastors from all over the world meeting there for a big conference on how to build a church. And all they were doing was showing you how to work it on TV. Just entertaining people, just entertaining people. So an old friend of mine, some of you don't know him, but he's an old friend of mine, Billy Kim, out of Korea. He has a church of about 100,000. Preaches the Word of God, straight as the truth. He was the last speaker. And he said this. Don't worry about standing a little bit. I got to stand here the whole hour. You're going to suffer with me. He said this. He got up to speak. He was the last man speaking that day. And he said this. He said, I think I know what's wrong with you Americans. And then he made this statement. You got too many Bibles. So I think I'm just going to preach out of a good old King James Version. I'm going up and down those aisles hollering and shouting, people looking at me like I'm crazy. The whole platform turned around to see who that nut was. I'm going, glory, hallelujah, woohoo! And they think I'm crazy. They just think I'm crazy. Now, some of you do too now, you know, but I'm not. If I'm crazy about anything, I'm crazy about the Lord. I'll tell you that right here now. Well, I got to quit preaching now and start reading here so you can sit down because you're starting to look weary, all right? Verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? One of those great verses in the scriptures. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Tell me this is not America. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. And then the rest of the chapter is for your own reading, as we will be commenting a verse or two, but we'll probably be staying with these portions of God's Word. Shall we pray? If you don't know how to pray, not used to praying, that's all right. You just to remain where you are. We're going to speak to our Heavenly Father. We believe that.
Amen.
We're going to speak to our Heavenly Father and just tell Him how much we love Him. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for who Thou art. The great God of the universe and yet our Father by faith in Jesus Christ. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the shed blood has already been sung and said. O Lord God, we plead the blood of Christ even on our prayers and on our preaching. Our best of preaching, our Father, we need to repent and to plead the blood on it. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Holy Spirit who is alive and lives within us, for Thy Word has told us in 1 Corinthians so. We thank Thee, Father, that we're a cared for people, that we're a protected for people. We have an interceder here upon this earth. And we have an interceder sitting at the right hand of the Father. O Lord God, Thou art good to us. We are needy people. There be one who slipped into our midst this morning that knows not Jesus, Father. May the reality of the God of heaven stir their hearts and cause them to come to a saving knowledge of Him who loved them and gave Himself for us. And we'll be careful to give Thee all the praise. Please, Father, forgive the feeble effort that will be sent forth in preaching. But do what only You can do, Father. By Thy Holy Spirit, empower it. For Thy people, for this speaker, for those who know Thee not. Oh, God, may this be a morning that will bring honor and glory to You, and we'll be careful to give Thee all the praise. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time when Israel was a crown jewel of the universe. There was nobody like Israel with all of her splendor. You think about it during the time of Solomon and so on and so forth, where even the Queen of Sheba came by to see whether everything that they heard about Amen. This country called Israel was true. She was a crown jewel, but she went up in smoke. And God has told us in through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that we're supposed to learn from this. So let us learn this morning, please. They went up in smoke because they forgot God. Then when they did that, God forsook Israel. He didn't forget Israel, but he forsook Israel. Israel was going around singing, God bless America. God bless America. May I say this as tenderly as I can? As old as I am, I can go back in 1941 where America sent a 911 up to God. God listened to her and we said, oh God, we're being attacked on both fronts. God help us. So our young men went out and we went out and we gave our lives and our time and our energy for the defense of our country. And God heard our prayers. And God answered our prayers. And we were victorious. And so we thank God by permitting homosexuality to run rampant in America. By killing millions of babies every year. By passing pornography in the face of our kids in school. You can't pray in school, but pornography is all right. I want to say something to you. He is no fool who sits on the throne. We have thanked him with the garbage that's going across America today. I heard God bless America as I came to church. I could tell this was Sunday. Nothing coming over the bridge. Boy, it was real joy. Just no cars. Because everybody was home singing God Bless America. Everybody's reading their newspapers, God Bless America. Everybody was in bed shouting out loud, God Bless America. But no energy or no effort being expended to come to the house of God to meet with God's people and shout praises as we heard this. This place stirs heaven. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this place as well as America. Israel was sovereignly planted. I spoke in St. Louis on this subject and I said to the people of St. Louis, America just celebrated Independence Day from God. Don't get upset at me. I cannot help it. He says in Jeremiah, you preach it, don't worry about their faces, don't worry about what they say. You tell it like it is. I need to stand as a prophet of God and to tell you that God is coming in judgment upon America. We've forgotten God. We cannot approach God as America is attempting to approach God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We forgot God. So the first point I'd like to say is this. God, would you remind us of your goodness? America, as Israel was sovereignly planted. Remind us of your goodness, God. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 80. Read it there. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Israel was sovereignly, listen to me please, sovereignly planted. The Holy Ghost says to Israel, you were just lucky. You didn't just win the lottery. God said to Israel, that wasn't just luck that you were able to cross the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. There was no luck with that.
Amen.
It was God that did that. It was God, according to verse 8, that brought you out and planted you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Go back in history and look at it with an honest eye, if you can, and try to keep the ACLU and the humanist out.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you'll have an honest eye. But look with an honest eye, and this is what you find about America. America was a land that was sovereignly planted. America was planted to be a Christian nation. The amens are dying out. Pilgrims wrote about their coming to America, and this is what they said. For the glory of God, we come to America for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Look at the ninth verse. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take a deep root, and it filled the land.
Amen. Amen.
It filled the land. Governor William Bradford wrote in May, I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but I want to throw a couple of things in here. May of 1643, here's what he wrote. We all came, when he talked about the pilgrims coming, we all came with the express purpose of advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberty of the gospel in purity with peace. I'd like to hear you find that on the daily news tonight. There was a study by political scientists and over a 10-year period of history, historians in Houston, Texas studied and went over 15,000 pieces of literature and writing and found that the basis on which the Constitution stood, Constitution and the Bill of Rights stood were based on the Bible. Amen. The foundation of the Constitution was the Word of God.
Yes,
34% was quoted from the Bible and 60% was from men who believed and lived the Bible.
Amen.
God bless America. America was sovereignly planted. But we played the game. And we've forgotten God, and the humanists have taken over. These same men who made this study studied and found 55 men who signed the Bill of Rights were born again Christians. Those who signed the Constitution, 50 out of the 56, were born again Christians. I'm not talking about the deists, I'm talking about born again Christians. Patrick Henry said this nation was not founded by religion or religions, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1892, after 10 years of study, the Supreme Court wrote this in the Trinity decision. This is a Christian nation. I defy you to find that in your Supreme Court today.
Amen.
We sat too long in our churches and told our young people that they ought to be good boys and girls. We've called our young men in our services to be preachers of the Word of God, and that's true. But we fail to call out doctors and dentists and senators and congressmen, and the humanists have taken over this marvelous country. It was a sovereignly planted country. And then I want you to know something else about Israel. She was specially prepared. Let's read that in verse 9 again. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. God saw to it that Canaan was prepared for Israel. Israel prepared for Canaan. God saw to it that Canaan was prepared for Israel and Israel to be prepared for Canaan. Everything was already there. They needed to do nothing. The homes and the land and the fruit and the vegetables, all of it was there. God specially prepared for Israel. God specially prepared this country for the pilgrims when they came here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now the problem is this, that our young people do not get this in our high schools and in our colleges.
Yeah.
And don't blame the humanists for that. We gave them the liberty to send their professors into the colleges and so on and so forth.
Sir.
And now we're paying the price. I want to say this to you. God bless America. And He has. But I want to say something. We've forgotten God. Then I want you to notice something else over here before. This is just an introduction to the message. I'll get going here in a minute. I want to give you some of these things here. Israel was supernaturally prospered. Look at verse 10 and 11. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Every place you look, Israel. Everybody knew about Israel. As I said, the Queen of Sheba came and saw what God had done for Israel. And she said, the half has not been told. And even our enemies, when they come to this country, they look over this country and they say, the half has not been told about this country. But they hate humanists hate the fact that God has planted a prosperous, sovereign nation, and we've watched it disappear. We have watched it disappear. God's people have watched it disappear. Let me give you some history here. America, 7%. God has supernaturally prospered America. 7% of the land area and population are found of the world are found in America. 7%. Now watch this thing. 1/3 of the world's goods are produced here. 13% of the wheat is raised here. 40% of the world's corn is raised here. 20% of the world's meat is raised here. God has supernaturally prospered America. Half of the world money is found here. I haven't been able to find it, but it's here someplace. There are 10 times more doctors in America than there are in the rest of the world put together. Our poor are richer than the poor of the world. There's nobody dropped any enemy bombs upon America. That's not saying it won't happen. We had a tragedy here a year ago, but no foreign flag has ever flown over this country. And there are, my dear friend, there are congressmen today who would enjoy us to have the flag of the United Nations over this country. And I say you, it's the red, white, and blue. America's been sovereignly planted. America has been specially prepared and supernaturally prospered by the Almighty God. Now, it doesn't get any easier, so if you want to leave, you can leave now. You know why America is so protected and provided and is so powerful? Not because of our goodness, but because of God's goodness. Look at verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The writer says, O God, remind Israel of your goodness. And the writer is saying here, O God, remind America of my goodness. This business of crying out, God bless America, my dear friend, without any real purpose or rhyme, and I'll get to that in a moment, is not what God pleases God. Let me show you something from this portion of God's Word. Not only this, my dear friend, was it supernaturally planted, but God, restore to us your grace. Oh God, don't only show us your goodness, but restore to us your grace. Look at verse 4. Oh Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be, watch it, angry against the prayer of thy people? It wasn't that God wasn't hearing their prayer. It was that their prayers were making God angry. This mockery going on is making God angry. You may not agree with everything that I'm saying. That's all right. You'll have your turn after the message is over. Meantime, I'm King Kong up here. America does not need to pray for revival. We need to pray for revival to come to the church. Amen. That's where the problem lies, my dear friend in America. Amen. It's not the humans, it's the church. Amen. Go to church in Las Vegas, my dear friend. The guy tells me how good I am, how much better I could be if I used that pan of toothpaste and all this kind of business. I come out of there, man, making me feel like $1 million, and I get in my car, and it's gone. There is no room for the Holy Spirit of God in the churches of Las Vegas. And there are not too many jewels like this on Staten Island either. Oh yeah, we have a lot of clowns with a circus and entertainment going on, and the bongo bongos and the whoopee whoopees and the dancing girls and... America doesn't need revival. America needs repentance. Why? Because prayer from an unrepentant and an evil people makes God angry. That's what he said. Now, don't you fool around with God, my dear friend. And don't you let somebody kid you. You won't hear it in this church like that any better than that. I'll tell you that right here now. And don't let somebody tell you that God doesn't get mad at prayers. It isn't the fact that we need to answer prayers. It's the fact that our prayers are unanswered because God is angry. He's angry. He's angry. Our prayers go forth. Oh, God bless America. And God says, what have I been doing for the last 200 years? What do you think you're speaking to a dummy up there? Please don't misunderstand me, God. He says, be careful. An unrepentant heart, an evil heart makes God angry in your prayers. Now the best of us in here, my dear friend, we need to repent over our prayer life. We need to plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over our prayer life and over our preaching and over our asking forgiveness. There needs to be an awakening in America, my dear friend. And thank God for this place here that God still honors those who honor His Son. And without honoring Him, it makes God angry. And the best prayer you've got, my dear friend, will do nothing but stir anger in God. Well, preacher, you're supposed to give us encouragement today. I am. I am. Repent and get right with God. And your prayers will be heard and God will smile. America is not just a sinful nation. She's a sinful nation that will not repent. We can pray pornography, as I said before, in front of our children, but they can't pray in school. In the name of art, please listen to me carefully now. In the name of art, Jesus Christ is placed on a cross in a bottle of urine. You've seen that. And tax dollars pay for it. And if you protest it, they call that censorship.
Yeah, right.
Come on! Wake up, America!
Amen.
There's a problem in America when an owl in Oregon has more protection,
right. But
an unborn baby does not.
Yeah.
There's a problem in America.
Amen.
I'm not trying to take either side, but I'm going to tell you, that's a problem in America when an owl has more protection in Oregon than an unborn baby. Murdering millions of babies every year. God bless America. Come on. Keep crying 911 and you're making God angry. You're making God angry. Be careful how you pray, for without repentance you make God angry. Look at verse 5. Thou feedest them with the bread of what? Somebody say it loud.
Tears.
God says, I'll make your country weep. And He made Israel weep. Because Israel made God angry. You say, you better slow down. You won't be able to finish the message. Oh, I'll be here good and strong. If they don't kick that water over down there. Verse 5, He says, thou feedest them with the bread of tears. And give us them tears to drink in great measure. I'm not trying to be cruel, trying to be mean. A preacher of the Word of God today pays the price to preach the Word of God. People look at him like he's like a tree full of owls, my dear friend. I want to say something to you right here now. I'm reading to you God's Word. I haven't told you anything that I haven't read from God's Word. God says He'll make, He's angry at your prayers. God says, I'll bring tears to your country. How long are we going to keep up this God bless America and no repentance? God is angry with America. The country I love. The country I served for. Many of you did too. For the sake of prosperity, we put a man in who was a coward as a president of the United States. If you're a red-blooded American, you can handle that. Why, that's something else. Although I'm not going to get into it, but you did put his wife in as a senator here.
Yeah. My, my.
But I'll give you credit. You booted her off the stage a year ago, and that was good. I knew that was the answer to prayer. America, man who has 8 children, wants to do his friend a favor. So he leaves the kids at home with his wife and drives his friend to the airport in Chicago, and he's shot and killed. We've made God angry. Please listen to this. Every day in America, today in America, 10 teenagers are killed by drunk drivers. That ought to make us weep. Every day, listen to me please, in America, 2,975 girls become pregnant. That ought to make us weep. Today, 1,168 teens will have an abortion. Today, 1,168 teenage girls will have an abortion. That ought to make us weep. Don't make God make you weep. You better begin to weep over some things about our unrepentant behavior. Listen to this. Today, 4,260 teenagers will contract a sexually oriented disease in America. Today! That ought to make us weep. Today, 1,027 babies will be born that are addicted to drugs. God bless America. That ought to make us weep. It ought to make us weep. You don't read that in your newspapers. You don't read that. You don't see that on your television. It's the unrepentant heart of America, and there's a lot of weeping going on right now, my dear friend, in America. I was overjoyed to hear you folks going up to Port Richmond and giving out clothes and food and with the gospel of Christ. I mean, there's a lot of people hurting in America, folks. A lot of people hurting in America. A lot of people hurting in New York. Thank God we pray. We pray for you folks daily, and thank God we'll be praying for you. Amen. In fact, I'm going out tomorrow with you folks because passing out some hope for the people.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Look at verse 6. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. We're the most feared nation in the world. But not the most respected nation. We're far from them. We even lost respect for ourselves in places. Got a guy by the name, I hate to mention his name, but I got to. Got a guy by the name of Tom Cruise. He's going to leave America because it's not a safe place to raise his children. He wants to go to Australia. Listen, you blockheaded movie star, or whatever you want. You thick-headed nut. You make a statement like that, somebody will punch you. Somebody will hurt you. I better watch. I remember I'm preaching now. That's right. I'm not out in the street. He wants to leave America and take his kids someplace where it'll be safe. And we've got young men and young women giving their lives over there to make it safe for America. That ought to make us weep. A senator can come out. Listen, this is amazing to me. A senator can come out and declare he's a homosexual, and they give him a medal for great courage. And he ain't too far from here. It's a tragedy, but it ought to make us weep. Our problem is not the presence of sin. Our problem is the absence of God. Here's what's happening in America. Look at verse 14. I'm going to jump a little bit farther. Return, we beseech thee, O God. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Look at verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? We stood in horror as enemies of America struck down 2 beautiful monuments here, and I was here at the time. I was sitting in Jersey over there in my motel, and I could see the thing come down. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. America is being plundered and raped by godless humanists who maximize the rights of men and minimize the rights of God. A new religion in America. Every man does his own thing. Worship who you want. If it feels good, do it. God bless America, but we don't know which God we're worshiping, so that's all right. Just worship, that's all. Morals are relevant. All lifestyles are equal. Homophobia, not homosexuality, is the evil of America. Oh God, restore to us thy grace. And then in closing for 20 minutes. If I say closing, everybody starts saying rejoice. Well, he's through, but I've got a few more things to say, if you don't mind. He says this, look, verse 19, over there in turn us again, O Lord of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Revive us for you, God. Now watch. And here it comes. As long as our back is to God, we will never see his face shine. Turn to God, America. America must turn around. Amen. America must repent. Amen. You say, I agree. We need to repent. But do you know why we need to repent? Do you know why we should repent? Do you know why we should repent and ask? What? Rejoice. Amen. Amen. In thee.
Yeah.
Rejoice in thee. We need revival. I believe that people are praying for it, fasting for it, begging God for it, but we don't get it. Why not? Maybe we're asking for the wrong reason.
Right.
Are we asking God to bring revival so that we may rejoice in him? Folks, I hope I'm getting through.
Amen.
I wonder if we're not saying, will you revive us again so the stock market won't collapse? Revive us again, O God, so that the enemies don't take over our country. Revive us again, Lord, so the standard of living won't go down. Revive us again, Lord, so we can live safely, so we can stop terrorism. If that's what we want, if that's why we want revival, God says, I'm not the least bit interested.
Amen. Yeah.
We ask in response to verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? We need a revival, my dear friend, that we might rejoice. We as a people, we as a nation, we as God's people might rejoice in God.
Amen.
You know where I'm at, where the joy of America is today? I'll tell you where it is today. Stocks and bonds, gold, real estate, cars, vacations, bank accounts, and revive the economy. We'll put the Antichrist in as president if he'll give us a good economy. And we almost did. Not this present president, don't you misunderstand me. I don't mention the other guy's name. I don't know if he's got a name. He's got a name, but I don't like to say it from the pulpit. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. In 1700, there was a lieutenant who was commissioned to bring cannons over to Massachusetts for England. It's a true story. That was all he had to do. He had to watch those cannons on that deck of that ship. That was his responsibility. A storm came up. The wind howled and the rain came and he got soaked and he stayed as long as he could and then he decided, well, he'd just slip down for a few minutes, put on some dry clothes and come back up. When he slipped down to get some dry clothes, one of the cannons let loose. And it crashed from one end of the ship to the other. He came up on deck and he heard the noise and he knew it was his problem to take care of and so he immediately jumped in to take care of it. He saw the cannon racing for a couple of sailors who had their back turned to it. And he threw his body into it because he couldn't stop it to divert it. Crushed both of his legs. And the cannon crashed in the side of the ship and he saved the lives of his two sailors. When he was able to get up on those crushed legs, they brought him before the ship's company. And they called him a hero. He had saved the lives of those two men. And they gave him a medal. And then the next breath, the captain of the ship said, not only are you a hero, and not only do we give you a medal, but tomorrow morning you will die at the firing squad. You left your post. That wouldn't have happened. What I'm saying is this, my dear friends. He got a medal, but he died at a firing squad. He is no hero who solves a problem he himself has created. He is no hero who has, listen to me please, who solves a problem he has himself created. Congress spends a lot of time trying to solve problems we have created. We're creating more problems than they can solve. We had Congress stand up in unity and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. You know what would have been better? I pledge allegiance to Almighty God. That might have been better. We have tried sex education, no success. We have spent billions in AIDS research, but it continues unabated. We have spent billions in detox centers and rehabilitation centers, but to no avail. Drugs and alcohol run rampant. But I'm here to tell you that our greatest need is God, and it's not God bless America. It is thank you, Father, for the Son that died on Calvary's cross for us. Thank you for the shed blood on Calvary's cross. God is angry with our prayers. We ask for lower taxes. We ask for a greater military. We ask for lower interest rates, but to no avail, for the heart of America is in the sewer. And I preach with a broken heart this morning because I'm talking about a country that I love very dearly. I had a hard time convincing my grandson in Las Vegas, who was 21 years old, from joining the mountain troops. He was so angry at the terrorists. That's the kind of red-blooded men we need in America. And we've got them over there right now, my dear friend. And I wonder how many times we pray for those boys. Many of them are lost without Christ, going into caves and going wherever else it may be, facing the dangers of war and the horrors of war, and one step out of hell. Because they know not Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Do we pray for them? Winston Churchill was meeting Billy Graham in 1954, and he was lamenting on how his country had and the world was going down in culture and civility and morality just in his lifetime. He said to Billy, young man, is there any hope? And Billy answered, yes, there is hope. It is in the resurrection and second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's the only hope. Have you ever wondered what he's going to do when he comes into New York City? And straightens this mess out. And this is not any worse than Cookeville, Tennessee. Believe me, it's not. America will never repent if the church will not repent. Contemporary church has rejected the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for this church. Thank God for how much of our worship is Holy Ghost led this morning. It was such a joy to kneel with you men. Knelt in the back of the room and hear you praying and asking God's Holy Spirit to bless and to guide and to direct and to lead. Speaking of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my dear friend, what a jewel. This is a jewel. This is a supernatural, prospered jewel here.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
But don't let it get away. Don't let it get away. Let me ask you a question. About what have you spoken to the Holy Ghost this morning before you came to church? Or did you wait to church to have somebody pray? What did you say this morning? How much time did you spend on preparing this body, powdering up, sweetening it up? How much time did you spend on the inner man? God have mercy on us! See, I can preach the way I want to because I'll be gone in 3 days. And maybe I'll be gone less that time. Nobody shows up tomorrow night. God has placed a jewel in this neighborhood. You are that jewel. God sovereignly planted a jewel on Amboy Road. And believe you me, my dear friends, you may not believe it, but this island is watching what's going on over here. And even those that are drawing a crowd with their dancing girls and their bonbon bands and so on and so forth are wondering, how in the world can you draw a crowd by just preaching the Word of God? Come, blessed Holy Spirit. Show them how. Oh, God, help us. We have been sovereignly planted here. You have been especially prepared for people, and God has given you the leader and the leaders of this church. And you are supernaturally prospering. They can't understand how this church goes on and doing the missions programs and the buildings and sending out men and sending out gospel tracts and buying this and buying. They cannot understand that. And so when there's a so-called recession. So-called recession. And some guys will say anything to get an office. Oh God, continue to make us aware of your grace that we might rejoice in thee. And I close my message. I close it by asking you a question. Are your prayers making God angry? Need to consider that. Very seriously this morning. What kind of a prayer life do you have this morning? Are you making God angry with your prayers? We're not dealing with somebody, the man upstairs. That's a lot of nonsense. We're talking about the holy, holy, holy God. I'll speak on that perhaps. There's only one attribute of God that is mentioned three times together. Love, never. Mercy, never. Grace, never. There's only one attribute of God that he mentions three times in a row. Holy, holy, holy. Okay. In the book of Isaiah. God is a holy God, an awesome God. He's not a fool. We don't just come along with our nickel dime prayers and ask for this and ask for that. God says, your prayers are making me angry. And America, listen, we need to wake up. We think our prayers are making God angry. We think of what happened in last September is a terrible thing. You haven't seen anything yet when God begins to pour out his anger. And it's coming. It's coming, my dear friend, regardless of whether you like it or not. You cannot run rampant with the morality in this country like it's going. And in one breath, listen, how dare we say, God bless America, and carry in our pockets money that says in God we trust, and we don't trust him. Wish I could have preached a sweeter message. I just want to say one thing to you. Don't you ever forget it. And you do, then you'll do exactly what I said at the beginning of this message. There's only one thing a man learns from history, and that's this. That he never learns from history. Israel was a crown jewel. But she forgot God. God never forgot her. But he forsook her. America is a crown jewel. The military power of the world. Did you hear what I said? The military power of the world. Our president said he's willing to go alone against the terrorists. We're willing to take on the whole world because we fear no one. Don't you think the Antichrist hasn't heard that? My dear friend, we stand at the very edge, very door of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Tony Blair is in America today speaking to the Prime Minister of England, speaking to Americans, and what are we going to do? Are we going to go it alone, or what are we going to do? Russia has just made a $40 billion contract with the Arab nations, with Iran. Whose side is she on? Everybody wants one thing, oil. And there's one country that leads, stands in the way. And that's God's. little invincible nation called Israel. I'm going to preach on it one night this week. I believe I can show you the picture of the whole thing. The coming of the Lord Jesus. The rapture. The Antichrist. Where he's going to come from. I think it's a legitimate picture. You won't want to miss it. But now look, church. God bless America. And we say that right now, my dear friend, honestly. We say that right now. Don't we say it a little shamefaced? What's happened in the last 200 and some years? God took a handful of people and built most powerful nation the world has ever seen. We have the ability to destroy the entire earth. Been supernaturally prospered. But everybody's laughing at America. God is angry with America. And repentance must begin at the church. Repentance must begin at the church. How about your prayer life? How about your Bible time? How's your worship time? How did we worship God this morning? My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, my soul. Was that what your worship was about this morning, dear people? Was that what it was about this morning? Or was it just singing a song and getting emotionally involved in the thing? Or was it sincerely thanking God for the fact that your sin has been nailed to the cross and the blessed Lamb of God paid the price? On one day, I don't want to give everything away, but one day, there's going to be a sound in heaven.
Amen.
The trump shall sound. You know why the trumpet stands? Sounds? The king has stepped up off the throne. He's standing up.
Amen.
And there's a shout. And you know what the voice? You never heard a shout like that in all the universe, as will be when the king steps off that throne.
Amen.
And the archangel says with a shout, "It's time to rule!" And down he comes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Are you going with him?
Amen.
Are you going with him?
Yes.
What are you doing about it today? That's all I'll leave you with. I preached too long. Oh no, I'm on Cookville time. It's only 5 minutes to 11. Thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for the joy it's been mine to tell you that America's a great nation. But the fault belongs in the churches. We need a repentance in the church. Now there's somebody here this morning. You need to get right this morning. You're in a crowd. Nobody knows you, maybe. Your worship is not what it ought to be. Your prayer life is not what it ought to be. You need to get it straightened out. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Are you one of God's children? Have you been saved, born again? Is your prayer life like it ought to be? Are you serving Him as you ought to be serving Him? I'm going to ask the pastor to come and take the invitation. I ask you one thing question here, right here now. Oh my God, please help us to see it. Are your prayers making God angry? Are they? Are they making God angry? If they are, you need to just leave that old seat and come and hit this altar over here, or however the invitation is handled, and just tell Him you're sorry and say, God, from here on in, it's going to be sincere. And whatever else you might need, I'll leave the invitation for the pastor. He can handle it the way he wants. God have mercy. grace, restore it to our country again, that we might rejoice in Him.
Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed, if we could, for just a minute before we go this morning. I'm sure the Spirit of God spoke to you as He did to me. And I hope this morning that if God spoke to your heart, that you might respond to whatever the Lord was dealing with you about this morning. If you're here today and you know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, but you know that things are not right in your life, perhaps as you read through Psalm 80, as we did this morning, not only did you think about our nation, but you might have thought about your own life. If you're saved, then you know your salvation is a work of God. He gave you that as a gift to you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe right now you can look back over a life as a Christian and see many, many of the blessings of God. Mercy and kindness and love, grace to you. Israel had those things, yet there came a point in Israel's history when she forgot the God that had saved her. She forgot the God that had blessed her. She turned her back on the God that had shown her mercy again and again and again and again. What was true in a nation is often true in a life. If you're here today and you can remember the day that God saved you, and you can look back over many blessings in your life, many times when God was merciful to you and kind to you, but you haven't returned that blessing to God. You haven't blessed Him with a life lived wholly, fully, completely for His sake. If you're here this morning and you've been like that man in Romans chapter 2, the Bible speaks about a man that can despise the goodness of God. Despise the goodness of God. It just simply means have no regard for the goodness of God in a person's life. Is that you this morning? Yeah, it's bad that our nation is in the condition it's in. But what's worse is when God's people are in the condition they're in sometimes. Are you here this morning? You'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. But there are things in my life this morning that I know are not right between me and my Heavenly Father. There are things today that I know are not right, and the Spirit of God spoke to me this morning, and I want to acknowledge it this morning before the Lord today." Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. But if you'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved, but there are things between me and my Father in heaven that are not right this morning, and I want to acknowledge it before God. Here's my hand this morning. Please pray for me. Please pray for me." Between you and the Lord, you don't need to know what your neighbor is doing. It's between you and God. You'd say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I thank God for His mercy. Oh, I can remember His goodness and His kindness. But I have things in my life that are not right today with my Heavenly Father." Just lift your hand and then put it right back down. Anyone else? Oh, many hands this morning. Many hands. Yeah, this is a message about a nation, but more importantly, it was a message this morning about a life, an individual life. Maybe your life this morning. Maybe you are like the nation of that chapter, a nation that had enjoyed the blessings of God and the mercy and the favor of God. And yet got to the point in her history when her prayers angered the God that loved her and had saved her. Is that your case this morning? Will you not do something about that this morning? Will you be just a hearer of God's word this morning and then go out of here no different with no change? Or if God spoke to you today and the Spirit of the Lord showed you something in your own life, would you not respond to the Lord this morning? Would you make it right with God this morning? The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect?" Neglect, not reject. Neglect so great salvation. Neglect. Neglect. How shall we escape? There is a judgment day coming even for the saved, and it won't be a picnic. If you raised your hand this morning and you were sincere about that, we don't often do this, but if you want to just make your way right here to the front and just spend a moment or two in prayer and just confess that situation to the Lord. He knows about it already. He just wanted you to be aware of it. If you want to step out of your seat, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. And when we begin to sing, if you want to just come from where you're sitting, you can come here around this front row of chairs or here at the front near the pulpit and just spend some time with the Lord. Make it right with God today. Would you do that? I'm going to make it right with the Lord today. And before we do that, let me ask you another question. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe if you were to die today, you'd have to be honest and you'd say, Lord, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure I would go to heaven. I'd like to settle it today. Preacher, please pray for me this morning. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for certain I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to get it settled. I'd like to know for sure that I could go to heaven if I should die today. Here's my hand. Please pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that at all? Just lift it up and then put it right back down. Anyone like that at all? Yes, sir. All right. To someone else. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else this morning? You'd say, I'm not sure. If I died today, I don't know. I don't know what would happen to me. I want to be sure. I want to know for certain that I'm on my way to heaven. My friend, today it is possible. All your sins can be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only safe ground for the sinner to stand upon. The judgment of God has already struck that ground. The judgment of God has already fallen at the cross. Jesus Christ has already borne your judgment. And the only safe place for the sinner to stand is in Christ. If you don't know for certain today that you're in Christ, my friend, you may be in danger of the wrath of God. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, there is judgment coming. And if you're not in Christ today, if you've never trusted Him as your Savior, if you've never called upon His wonderful name and said, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me for Jesus' sake. If you've never trusted Christ and been born again by His Holy Spirit, then you may be in danger even this day of the wrath of God. Please, I urge you, if you're here this morning and you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, would you just surrender to God today? Say, yes, that's me. Please pray for me this morning. Is there anyone else like that this morning? Just lift your hand and then put it right back down. All right. Our Father, just before we stand and sing a number together here as a church, Lord, we do pray that You might continue that work in the hearts of Your people, Lord. If You've spoken to someone and they know that they need to make things right with You, Lord, I pray that You'd help them this morning. Give them grace and mercy, Lord, and may their own heart and mind be renewed. Lord, may You visit them and stir them up this morning, Lord, and help them, Lord, that there would be a renewing in their heart today. And Lord, for these that have lifted their hands concerning their salvation, Lord, it might be they lack the assurance of that salvation. And Lord, if that's the case, then help them, Lord, today that they would be reminded of Your promises and be reminded, Lord, that having received Christ, that they can never lose that gift of God, which is eternal life. Lord, I pray that You'd give them that assurance from Your word. And Lord, if there is someone here today that has never been born again, please, Lord, help them to see their need and to take that step of faith today that they might be saved. We'll thank You and give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning, Brother Pat. What are we singing?
252.
252. Just stand with me, get your songbook, and let's sing together. If you need to come, why don't you do that right now, even as we sing?
Come every soul, my sin oppressed,
there's mercy with the Lord,
and He will surely give you rest
by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
Washes white as snow.
bow our heads for a second before we sing that last verse. Folks, are things right this morning between you and your God? Are things right today? Are they right between you and your Heavenly Father? If you're here this morning and you know you're saved, there's no doubt in your mind you're saved, but you know you're not walking where you should be. Things in your life, habits in your life, things of the world in your life, things, sins that you can't let go of. Why not get it right today? Would you get it right today? Boy, the first step of revival in any man's heart is humbling himself before God. As the preacher said this morning, it begins with repentance. There can't be any revival without repentance. There can't be any revival in your own heart. There can't be anything made new until, first of all, you acknowledge that things need to be changed. And you acknowledge that before God. That's humbling. Sometimes that's humiliating. But that's exactly what a man has to do. He has to be brought low and get low before God will pick him up and lift him up. And if you're here this morning and the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning and you are holding back, oh, walking down an aisle doesn't change anything. Doesn't change a thing. But God will see the intention of your heart, the seriousness of your heart, and God will meet you here. Why don't you step out? Why don't you come? As we sing this last verse, if you still need to come and make something right with God, please, come now, quickly.
Meet yes, Jesus is God's truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
On that first again.
Come every soul by sea, oppressed in mercy with
boy,
the
amen,
Lord.
That's true.
And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
Our Father, Lord, we thank You, Father, for the message this morning, and Lord, for each one that's here before You, Lord, kneeling here, Lord, acknowledging a need, a problem in their own life. Lord, thank You that there is mercy with the Lord. Thank You, Lord, that no sinner has ever come and acknowledged their need, acknowledged their sin before You, Lord, and ever been turned away.
Yeah.
Lord, Your grace has always been sufficient and Your mercy has always been abundant, and it'll cover a multitude of sins, Lord. We thank You this morning that, Lord, You have met with each one of these that have come here, Lord, and are willing, Lord, to meet that need in their heart. And may each one, Lord, find the thing that they are searching for. Lord, victory, forgiveness, whatever it might be, strength, to walk in that newness of life that You've given them. Lord God, I pray that You would get the glory and make a change. Make whatever change is needed. Lord, work in our own church here, Lord. Help us that we might not be like Israel. Get so complacent, Lord, and sit on our laurels. And Lord, to get to the place where, because of the sin in our own life, our prayers could anger You. Lord, help us and be merciful to us as a church. Lord, keep us faithful in the things that are pleasing to You. Help us, Lord, not to back away from the things that we need to do, lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming Your word in the streets of our city, sharing the gospel with our loved ones and the people around us. Please help us, Lord. Give us Your strength and Your power, Lord, and may Your name prevail. And Lord, we ask that You just meet that need in each person's life this morning. Lord, may there be some great victories that are won here today, Lord, for Your name's sake. And Lord, You receive all the honor and the glory from it. Lord, I pray if there's still someone here, Lord, struggling, wondering how they can get back on the right path, wondering if there's any hope for them, wondering if because of the maybe the problems that they've been through and the mess that they might have made of things, if you would really, really ever give them strength and give them that new chance, Lord. Show them again this morning, Lord, that there's mercy with the Lord. Help them today, Lord, that they would find forgiveness and, Lord, be able to walk out of here with joy in their heart and victory in their life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us today. We give you the glory. Lord, we thank you and love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us to be a grateful people. And, Lord, use us even this day. There's still, Lord, if you should tarry, a lot of this day ahead of us, Lord. And in your mercy and in your grace, we pray, Lord, that the hours of this day might not be wasted, but, Lord, they might be used for thee, and that you might be pleased and blessed by the lives of your people this day. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And, Lord, may you dismiss us now, Lord, with your grace and your mercy. And we ask for protection as we go from here. And, Lord, may you guide our steps, help us to be a blessing to one another and a witness to this wicked world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, and God bless you. We're dismissed.